get started. Be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's good to hear Grace and Truth saying for us today. I probably came up after they sung this summer about, I don't know, 30, 40 times, I guess. About 4 weeks spent traveling with them and enjoyed our time. My wife and I did very, very much. They're a little crazy, though. I tell you what, some of these kids in that group are a little bit loony, but it's good to see them back here in school, and it's good to see you back. Thank you for coming back. How many returning students do we have? Raise your hand. You're back in school. So good to see you. If you've been gone this summer, your bus route has missed you. Your bus captain has missed you. I've missed you. We're looking forward to having you back in school, back on your bus route. And then the new students, raise your hand. You're a brand new student in college this year. Very good. And boy, after hearing Brother Jeremy, man, I'm starting to have health problems. I think I might go with you on Saturday. But anyway, if you're going to be in the bus ministry, Saturday morning we'll meet at 9 o'clock at City Baptist School is where we have our bus meeting. And we'll have a great time. We'll take you and show you the sights, show you around Chicago a little bit, and you'll get to meet some of our bus riders and their families, and ride the bus on Sunday. And guys, ride the night bus, man. Get on that night bus. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. By the way, this Sunday, we're going to let the ladies ride. We're going to let the ladies ride night bus. And what we're hoping is that if the ladies ride the first week, maybe the guys will get in the habit to ride every week. Because for some reason, our attendance always goes up when the ladies come. The guys seem to find a way to make it out to Willow Court, ride the night bus. It's good to have our visitors here today. Brother Wilder, boy, I admire you and your family and what you do for the Lord. And the Vestals back here, thank you for being here today. Brother Vestal and I were bus captains together in the bus ministry, and our routes were pretty close together. I was in Division One, and you were in Division Two, and I think I picked up on your route a little bit. You probably picked up on my route a little bit. I'm not sure, but no, I know you didn't pick up my route because I would have shot you. But it's so good to be here today. Thank you for coming to college, and you made a good choice. You made a good choice, and I know the freshmen are a little bit skeptical of what's all going on here. But just hang on, for a little while, and you'll find that God has a place for you here at Howells Anderson College. And I want to speak to that this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And then we're going to turn to another scripture. I'll ask you to leave your Bibles there on your lap. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at it with me. I'll read aloud. Just you can follow along as I read. The Bible says here in verse number 8, chapter 4, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And then I want you to turn over to chapter 11, same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And follow along as I read in verse 23, the Bible says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false witness, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me, the care of all the churches. Of course, Paul the Apostle is speaking, giving a testimony about some of the things that he experienced as a Christian. And then I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look with me at verse number 10, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I want you to keep your Bibles open. Go back to 2 Corinthians. We'll reference a few more verses in that chapter, number 4. But I want to speak to you this morning about enduring. About enduring. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this chapel hour. Thank you for our students. Thank you for the faculty and staff. And Lord, this time of year, I often reflect on what this college had meant to me. The influence that so many people who I'd looked up to and admired had helped me in a very crucial part of my youth. And Lord, thank you for those who continue to work here and serve here. And thank you for the students, the new ones that have chosen this college to be the place where they would study and learn and grow. Father, I do pray you'd meet with us these next few minutes. Our time is short, but I pray that the words that I say and that you put on my heart would be exactly what's needed for this hour. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All of you this morning are on a journey. And it's very important that you understand that this is only a chapter of your life. This is not a career, or at least I hope it's not a career. Though some of you were beginning to wonder if you've made being a student a career. This is not a life sentence. This is just a short time of your life. It'll be a chapter that you'll reflect on and hopefully you'll look back on this chapter of your life with great memories. Look back at those years of Bible college and still, like as someone, I think Brother Anthony prayed or someone mentioned about making friendships of a lifetime. It's kind of interesting how I came on campus here 39 years ago. This is my 40th year to be here at Howells Anderson, and the man that I roomed with, even that first year, I'm still friends with, and throughout college, and still communicate and fellowship with men that I went to college with here 35, 40 years ago. And this is just a short time of your life. And if you're not careful, you'll look at what's ahead and you'll begin to wonder, is this where God has me for the rest of my life? Well, the truth is, because this is just a short time of your life, God has a life that is so much greater and wonderful that you can't even see. But it's so important, though, that you finish this chapter. It's so important that you get to the end of this time of your life, that you not quit before it's over, that you not decide on your own to finish before God says it's time to leave, and to endure hardness, to endure affliction, because for many of you, this is not going to be an easy road. This is not going to be an easy journey in your life. Some of you left home in the last few days, and it's been a little bit of a shock to you. I remember leaving my freshman year and coming here to Bible college, and I had no idea what I was getting into. And I didn't know anybody here. There was nobody from my home church. There was nobody that I was affiliated with. There was just nobody, just me. I showed up here on campus. They assigned me to live at Baptist City. Lived in a small apartment over there with four or five other men that were here in college. And I began my journey at Howells Anderson College. And I'll be honest, that first year was a bit traumatic for me. And some of you are going to face some of those same things. We don't know what you'll face this year. Some of you are facing already a homesickness like you've never had before. And by the way, if anybody says that you're a baby if you're homesick, then I was the biggest baby that ever came to Howells Anderson College. Because there's never been a student at Howells Anderson College that was any more homesick than I was. My wife and I were talking a little bit last night about our experience when we came to college, and both of us now admit that we made the mistake of getting a calendar and marking the days on that calendar when we would go home. And I wish I didn't do that, because it just made that anticipation even worse, that, you know, just waiting and enduring that time when I'd get to go home. And I went home. I didn't go home for Thanksgiving, but I went home for Christmas and had a wonderful time, enjoyed it, came back my second semester. I went home my first summer, and I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to go home. But you know what I learned that first summer at home? I learned that what I was homesick for wasn't there. Because what I wanted is I wanted to be a kid again. I wanted to be a teenager under the care of my mom and dad. I wanted dad to pay all the bills. I wanted mom to cook all my meals. I wanted her to wash all my laundry. And that's what I missed. And I remember coming back my sophomore year with the realization that I needed to grow up and I needed to be a man. And I needed to finish what I started. And when I came, and I'm so thankful for the roommates that I had in college. This morning I sent a text to Tim Rasmussen. Tim was my roommate in college, and I just thanked him. He was an upperclassman. I was a sophomore. He was a senior, and I thanked him for the influence he had on my life. Because, and by the way, upperclassmen, you have no idea how much impact and influence you can have on the younger students. And boy, that helped me so much. And I came back to school with a renewed vision, a renewed burden, a renewed purpose that God has a will for my life, and it wasn't to live at home. It was to find the will of God for my life. It was to figure out which young lady sitting in this chapel was going to be my wife. I'm so thankful. I'm so glad that in time, God revealed all that to me, but I just had to be patient and trust the Lord. You have no idea what you're going to face this year. Some of you will face hearing about problems at home, and it's frustrating. You're here at college, and you get phone calls from your siblings or from your relatives, and there's things going on, and you're here at college, and you're trying to go to class every day, and you're trying to pay your school bill, and you hear about these problems, and what you want to do is you want to run home, and you want to fix it when you need to stay and finish what you started. Some of you will struggle with finances, jobs, and just making ends meet. Some of you will struggle with the feeling of being feeling very inadequate. And that's how I felt. I didn't come from a preacher's home. My dad delivered propane gas. That was his job. He fixed appliances. And I didn't come from a preacher's home. My parents didn't work on staff. And I came to college here, and I began to meet other students, and I felt very inadequate. Like, how can I measure up to these other students who seem to be so far ahead in the Christian life than I am? Some of you will face the idea that you don't fit in. This is not for you. And those are feelings that I felt. Some of you will face the temptation to quit, the temptation to not finish what you started. Some of you will face the temptation of making more money here at a local job than you've ever made in your life, and decide not to fulfill God's will for your life, but instead pursue the almighty dollar. And that's a temptation that needs to be resisted. We know this: the devil does not want you here. He doesn't want you here. And the reason he doesn't want you here, because he knows the potential in this room. You know, it's a little intimidating. I'll be honest. I've preached on tour for many, many years. I've preached in churches all over the country. But this is probably one of the most intimidating places to preach. And I think one reason for that is because of the gravity and the potential in this room. And the devil knows that there is potential in this room. The devil knows there's future pastors and preachers. The devil knows there's future missionaries, men that are going to go with their wives, and they're going to go around the world like Brother Wilder has, and they're going to start churches and ministries, and they're going to reach people for Christ. And the devil knows there's future Sunday school teachers and future Christian school teachers and future men of God and women of God who are going to turn the world upside down, and certainly it's going to be a fight. And certainly there's going to come opposition, and certainly there's going to come trials and challenges and obstacles to try to trip you up and to try to get you to quit and to try to get you to doubt God's call in your life. The devil knows there might be a Kevin Wynn in here. The devil knows that. He knows there might be a future Rick Martin in here. The devil knows there's a future Mr. Chris Vestal or Dan Wilder and these men that are serving God and have done for decades of their life, and the devil knows that. And certainly the devil's going to fight because there's a target on your back, and the devil will do everything he can to try to get you to doubt and try to get you to give in to any temptation that'll get you off track and cause you not to fulfill the will of God for your life. The Bible teaches us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, the Bible says, endure afflictions. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, endure hardness. What does the word endure mean? It means to last. It means to continue. It means to suffer without giving in. It means don't yield. It means don't break. It means don't quit. Don't quit. I remember when I was a student at college here, there was a young lady, upperclassman, who was bound to a wheelchair. And I don't know all of her story. I think she might have been involved in an accident. And because of that, she was in a wheelchair. And I remember every time she would come to the chapel doors up here, the stairs, she would wait for four men to come and help carry her down the stairs so she'd go to chapel. And then when chapel was over, she would wheel her wheelchair back to the steps and wait for four men to volunteer to help carry up the stairs. Boy, you talk about a young lady with a sweet spirit. You talk about a young lady that was happy in the Lord. I'll never forget, I was at college graduation. I think I was a sophomore in school, and I remember they called her name to receive her diploma. And they carried her up the stairs, up the platform, and she wheeled across the platform, and Brother Hiles gave her a diploma. And I'll never forget thinking this, if that lady right there can graduate from Hiles Anderson College, then I can too. And to go through those trials, and to go through that obstacle, and to face those challenges, if she can do it, I can do it. And let me tell you something, if I can do it, you can do it. And if these men can do it, you can do it. If he can do it, then you can do it. You can finish what you started, but it will take endurance. It will take enduring. I want to give you four words. I want you to write these down in your Bible or put them on a piece of paper somewhere. And I want you to remember these four words because I believe that the Apostle Paul gives us a recipe in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 on how we can endure. How we can endure difficult days, difficult times. And the first word I want to give you this morning is the word purpose. The word purpose. Verse 11, if you'll look at it with me, please. The Bible says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You see, at some point in Paul's life, he had this understanding that God has a purpose for my life. And it's for Jesus' sake. Hey, listen, you're here for Jesus. You're not here because of your mom and dad. You're not here because of your home pastor. You're not here because of someone who wanted you to come. Be here because Jesus wants you to be here. And because Jesus has a purpose for your life. You're not a mistake. You're not an uh-oh. God knows exactly where you are. He knows your name. He knows your phone number. He knows your address. And he's got a purpose for your life. Boy, when we begin to really let that sink in, that God has a purpose for my life, I want to figure out what it is. I don't want to do my will. I want to do God's will. And boy, when you have purpose, Sure, difficult days are going to come. There's going to be some difficulty. But when you have purpose and you realize that, hey, I'm here because God has a plan for my life, well, it helps us endure. It helps us endure. I wasn't sure I was going to share this story. I've only told this story one time in public. It was on tour. It was while we were at Brother Shook's church. And I was born with a deformity. My sister and I were both born with a deformity. I've only got one ear, and my sister too. I've got three sisters. Two live out of state. One lives here in Hammond, Indiana. And I'm not going to tell you who she is, but her husband pastors our church. But anyway, and I'm not going to tell you which other sister it is, because that's not my job to share other people's secrets, okay? So stare at her on Sunday and figure out if it's her or not. But I was born with a deformity, and ever since I can remember, when I was a child, my parents always took me to the barber or had someone cut my hair. It was always below my ears. As long as I remember, I can show pictures when I was in grade school, all my school pictures, my hair was over my ears, and I think my parents were trying to protect me. Maybe they were thinking I'd be embarrassed, the kids would poke fun at me or whatever, and so they always had hair over my ears. And went to public school, so it wasn't an issue with any kind of rule or standard until I went to a Christian school my senior year at high school. And I remember my dad and I, because that was a big question for me. I'm 16 years old, and I want to know, am I going to have to cut my hair like all the other, you know, the other boys in the school had to cut their hair? And so we went to the principal, and we explained to him our situation. And I remember Brother Anthony, he said, the principal said, it'll be fine. He said, we'll let you, you know, keep your hair over your ears. It wasn't a big deal. And so I was happy, you know, hey, I can keep my hair the way it is. It was probably in style back then, you know, I don't know. And so my senior year at Christian school, I had hair over my ears, graduated from Christian school, came to youth conference, got called to preach. I wanted to come to Howells Anderson. I'm 17 years old now, but then that thing in my mind, I'm thinking, they're going to make me cut my hair, and I need to find out before I pack my bags, you know. And so I called the college, and they directed me to Toby Weaver, who was the dean of men. And I asked Brother Weaver. I said, Brother Weaver, I explained my situation to him. I said, I really want to come to Howells Anderson. I said, do you think there's any way in the world that college would make an exception? And Brother Weaver was so gracious and so kind and so mean. Because he said, no, son, we're not going to let you keep that. And I'm being funny about it, but he said, no. He said, you know, we want you to come to college. He said, if it's the will of God for your life, you ought to come. And, I, you know, as a 17-year-old kid, man, that was a big deal. And that was like 3 weeks before I was supposed to come to college. And so I waited until the Saturday when the barber was open before I would come to school on Monday. And I went to the barber shop for the first time and cut my hair over my ears. I remember when I got off the phone with Brother Weaver, I ran to my room, and I just laid on my bed, and I cried. And I wasn't crying because I had to cut my hair, but I was crying because I knew God had a purpose for my life. And that purpose was to go to Howells Anderson no matter what. And if it meant cutting my hair, I cut my hair. And if it meant letting people know that, you know what, hey, there's, you know, he's a little different. He's only got, hey, you know, there are some benefits. You ever heard of pillow talk? You know, husbands, wives, you know, they lay in bed and they pillow talk. All I do is lay on my good ear and I don't hear nothing. I just go back. I just fall asleep. So it has benefits. If you're on my left side, you begin talking to me. I have no idea what you're saying. You know, dying in the van, you know, she'd be back there talking. I have no idea. It really was kind of convenient because I don't know what she was saying. But I knew that God had a purpose in my life. And can I tell you, young people, God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. And you know, when you really understand that God has a purpose for me, it helps you endure hardness. Amen. It helps you endure difficult times. I got to move on quickly. The second word that I want to give you, the first word is what? Purpose. Say it again. Purpose. The second word is practice. Practice. I want you to look at verse number 16, same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to look with me at verse number 16. The Bible says, for which cause we faint not, But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And you know what Paul's practice was? His practice was to have a relationship with God every single day. Because every day our spirit has to be renewed. And if you don't get in the habit of finding a place, a quiet place alone, and that'll be a struggle. And you'll have to make that happen. You've got to figure out where to go, where you can get alone with the Lord every single day and say, God, renew my spirit through your word. Renew my spirit through my prayers and through my relationship with you. Because if you don't renew your spirit every day, that outward man's going to perish. And you're going to begin to have thoughts of quitting. And you're going to be having thoughts of doubt. And that spirit has to be renewed every single day. You know what walking with the Lord requires? It requires humility. Because you have to be humble enough to set aside time and say, you know what, God, you're important in my life. And you're important enough for me to take time out of my day to read your word and to pray. And let me encourage every one of you to make it a practice while you're in school, when you serve God, to renew your spirit every single day. Every day, renew your spirit. The first word is purpose. The second word is practice. The third word I want to give you is the word perspective. Perspective. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again. And look with me at verse number 17. The Bible says, for our light affliction. And I always find that interesting that God would call my affliction light. Because I'm thinking, no, it's not. It's heavy. It's burdensome. It's I can't take it. And God says, no, listen, for your light affliction. But why does God call it light? Well, he tells us in the next phrase here, he says, which is but for a moment. You know, it kind of goes back to what I said in the beginning of my message. This is just a chapter of your life. This is not your life. You're not going to spend the rest of your life in the dorms. I love the dorms. I wouldn't trade living in the dorms with the men I lived with for anything. I loved it. Brother Jesse, man, we lived together in the same room. You, me, and Charlie had good times. We had bad times, and we had a wonderful time. It was great. But I'm going to tell you something. You couldn't pay me to go back to those dorms. Why? Because that was the chapter that I lived, and it's over. Okay? That chapter is, I put the end next to that chapter. It's over. I don't have to go back to the dorms. But you know, while I was there, it was okay. It was okay. It wasn't that big of a deal. Look, the Bible says here, for our light affliction was but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And what we need to do is we need to adjust our perspective and focus on things that have eternal value. Because I'm going to tell you, this generation is very focused on the temporary. We're very focused on our things, our toys, our gadgets, our phones, our brand names. We're very focused on everything that has to do with me. But what we need to do is we need to focus our attention on things that really matter. What really matters is win somebody to Christ. Amen. Help somebody know they're going to heaven when they die. Good. Why? So they don't have to go to hell. Amen. Disciple a convert. Bring somebody to church. Good. Fill up a bus. Amen. Love a bus kit. And invest your life into something that really matters. Something eternal. The last word I want to give you quickly. The first word is what? Say with me real loud. What's the first word? Purpose. Second word, practice. Third word, perspective. And the last word I want to give you this is the prize. The prize. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 4. I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 3 real quick. Philippians chapter 3. Familiar verse, verse number 14. The Bible says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something, young people, there is a prize for serving Jesus. There is a prize for being faithful. There is a prize for loving the Lord. The Apostle Paul said this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, the greatest joy in your life needs to be watching somebody you loved, watching somebody you helped live in truth, serve God with their life. That needs to be your greatest joy. Not a new car, because that car is going to become an old car. Not the new shoes, the new purse, the new boyfriend, because he's going to become an old boyfriend. It's not things that are new and shiny, but it's investing your life into someone else and watching them grow in the Lord. If you are a City Baptist graduate, or you're a Chicago bus kid, I'd like for you to stand. Just stand up right where you are. City Baptist graduate, Chicago bus kid, I want you to stand. I have no greater joy than to know that these young people are still training and want to serve God with their life. This makes me happier than anything you could buy me or give me or promote me. I'd rather have young people that love the Lord. I'd rather see young people serve God with their life. You can be seated. And that's the prize for being faithful. That's the prize for enduring. That's the prize for staying with it. That's the prize for not quitting. That's the prize. That's the influence that you can have for God and for others if you'll not quit and just stay with it. Endure difficulty. Endure hardness. Endure the afflictions, because it will come. It will come. But you endure. You endure, and you'll find that it's worth it. That it's worth it. Polycarp was an early church Christian who was actually a disciple of the Apostle John, who wrote that verse, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." He was a church leader. He was a teacher. They arrested him, and they brought him to the arena to be killed. They brought him into the arena. The crowd roared, and they would get real excited when they bring in a Christian, and they would mutilate or burn, kill the Christians who were standing for God. And 86 years old, and the soldiers who went to his house to arrested him, pleaded with him, "All you have to do is deny Christ. All you have to do is, and we'll let you go. We'll let you go free." But he refused to deny the Lord. They took him into the arena. Over and over again, they told him, "Just deny Christ and you can go free." But he refused. They threatened him with live animals that would come and tear his body apart. But over the roar of the people, the crowd that came that day, he heard a voice that said, "Be strong, Polycarp. Be a man. Be a man. Be strong, Polycarp. Be a man. Endure. Don't quit." They pleaded with him to deny Christ. He said this, "86 years old, I have served him. He has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior?" Amen. They built a fire, but a miracle took place. His body was not burned. Finally, a soldier went in with a sword and pierced him with the sword and killed him in front of thousands and thousands of people. But he died a martyr who would not quit. He endured hardness. He endured affliction. Because the Bible says the godly will face persecution. And you know, when you're doing the right thing, There's going to be affliction. There's going to be opposition. But let me tell you the same thing that he heard that day. Be strong. Be strong, freshmen. Be a man. Be strong, sophomores. Be a man. Be strong, juniors. Be a man. Be strong, seniors. Be a man. Finish what you started. Endure the difficult days. Endure the difficult times, because there is a prize. And to hear God say, "Thou good and faithful servant," will be worth it all. Be worth it all. I don't know what this year you'll face. I don't know what you'll face in the next 4 or 5 years of your time here at Howells Emerson College. But whatever difficulty you face, why don't you decide this morning? Why don't you decide that there's a purpose? There's purpose in what God is putting me through. I'm going to have a practice. I'm going to have a relationship with the Lord. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to find a place. I'm going to find time to read my Bible and pray, renew my spirit. I'm going to have that perspective of things that really matter, not the temporal, not the short-lived, but for eternal. And I'm going to do it for the prize of God in Christ Jesus. Endure to the end. Let's pray and ask God to help us to do that. Father, I do pray that you'd help our students to decide this semester early in the year to endure hardness, to endure the difficult times that will come, because it's worth it. It's worth it. The altar's open if you want to come and take a few minutes. I'd encourage you to come. Let's all stand to our feet. The piano begins to play. Why don't you find a place at the altar, or maybe at your chair, and say, "God, help me. Help me to endure. Help me not to quit. Help me to be willing to face the difficult days that may come into my life. Help me to be like Paul and be able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith." Don't quit, young people. Don't quit. There's too much at stake. There's too much on the line. Let's decide today we're going to finish. We're going to finish strong.